Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring the MyFord Mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The MyFord Mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. Welcome to All About Android, episode 64, recorded on Monday, June 17th, 2012. Your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards, and I'm all alone here in studio because there's Eileen.
And I'm Eileen Rivera. I loved it. Good job.
Thanks. It's hard to read. Normally, I have like these sort of things memorized, but I read off it, so I'm sorry if you're watching a video and you saw me looking at my script. But Jason is off this week. Eileen is on Skype. I'm all alone here with Chad in the TWiT studios, as well as some other people who are pointing and laughing at me. See, they really are.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who's in the studio? Do we have guests today or no? Is IS?
Just the crew, the usual crews here. But this week there is a ton of hardware discussion that we're going to be chatting about. A lot of stuff going on in the world of Android phones. We're just coming right off of the Microsoft news, so I don't know. I mean, we don't really have any Android reactions to the Microsoft tablet news, but that's kind of...
Competition is good.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah. And Google will rejigger their presentation on the 27th.
We'll see. Yeah, countdown to Google I.O. now as everyone wonders how this Microsoft Surface tablet will compare to the Google Nexus tablet that is rumored to come out that we still don't know actually exists, although we kind of know the specs about it. So funny how that works. Well, we still got another 2 weeks before that, right? Oh, no.
It's next week.
Oh, geez, that's next week? I am not prepared for that. All right. Well, before we get into the news, let's check in with our Android in the Wild hashtag. As if you watched last week, you saw Eileen sharing our little joke about spotting Android devices in the wild.
Okay. And this is going to be funny because let's look at the photo.
Okay.
Chad. And let's examine that photo. Is that really an Android tablet or is that a BlackBerry,
Playbook.
Playbook. Because I got a tweet, from someone, this past week as well. And clearly the phone in the shot was a Lumia 900. I said, dude, try again. Android in the wild. So is this, no, I can't really tell.
Well, what's the logo down there on the bottom?
That's what I'm saying. It looks like BlackBerry Playbook or not. Am I wrong?
You might be right. I mean, it could be a Kindle because it's the same hardware, but that whatever that gray blur under the photo is, I think that's what gives it away.
See, Kindle doesn't have any kind of logo on the bezel.
We have a Playbook here. There we go.
It's a Playbook.
So here is a Playbook, and it has there we go. That's a good idea.
Has
you can see here has the little BlackBerry logo at the bottom.
Enhance, everybody, enhance.
There you go. So if we were on 24, we would be able to enhance this photo and see the logo crystal clear, but we are not on the TV show 24 because A, it got canceled, and B, you can't really do that unless the photo is high res. But I think that's a Playbook. So that is not an Android in the wild. And Danny Pierre, you're going to have to do better. So there you go.
I tweeted to you, Ron, over the week. I did see a guy with Beats headphones with the pink cord. Yep. And I'm pretty sure it was HTC One S, and he was watching Star Trek Voyager. I have the photo. I will share it next week because I need to block him out. Because here's the thing. I was in transit on the ferry, and I'm sitting right across from him, and I have my huge Galaxy S3, and the people right next – I have people right next to me. I have people looking over my shoulder. They could tell I was taking a photo.
That's like, the game, though. That's the challenge. You've got to have the gall to take a photo in public of a stranger and be able to post it on Twitter without their permission.
I had a mug there, so it looked like I was taking a picture. Then I did like pretend like I was taking a picture of the bar, and I was like – you know, it's got burst mode on here on the Galaxy S3, so I kind of winged it.
It's part of the game.
photo, but I blocked his eyes and stuff like that, and I just don't have it prepared to show you. I will show you next week. There's a tease.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. So if you find any Android devices in the wild, people using Android phones or tablets, and we're looking for the more rare ones, like the Galaxy Note is the real, you know, the unicorn that we're looking for, somebody actually with a Galaxy Note that is using it, like on the bus or something like that, post it up on Twitter, use the hashtag Android in the wild, and we'll probably show it on the show. So that said, let's go into the news. All right, so to kick things off, we have a little hardware news about HTC, where Peter Chow says HTC won't destroy their brand image by releasing super low-end phones. I think that's really interesting as the phone market starts to get really kind of busy and really kind of cluttered with so many different options for HTC to be drawing a line in the sand. And this is chief executive of HTC, Peter Chow. And he reaffirmed the company's commitment to focus on higher-end devices in 2012, saying they wouldn't destroy its brand image by releasing, quote, cheap, cheap phones, which is interesting because we've seen a lot of phones on the market. Some have been cheap and some have been expensive. I always think of HTC as a better brand.
Mm-hmm.
So
but they have some lower-end phones. I guess they're just not going to have any burner phones or anything like that in the near future. It's all going to be sort of LTE devices and up, right?
Yeah, exactly. It says here that they've been focusing on what the industry calls their hero products, including the HTC One series, which if you hold in your hand, I mean, I've held an HTC One now in the wild a couple times, and it feels cheap because of that plastic back. But they're focusing on that and the phones like the Droid Incredible 4G LTE in the mid-range market. So devices like the recently launched Desire C and One V may be low-end and expensive by Western standards, but there's a whole other ecosystem of super low-end phones coming to market in China and developing countries. So this could be less about our marketplace and more about the international footprint, maybe, because I guess China and Korea has tons of really, really cheap phones.
That's true.
But yeah, but it's interesting to see that in terms of market placement, if they are going to draw the line and not offer any phones that are cheaper than the Desire C, that's kind of puts them at a price point that they're not going to go below. So I'll be curious to see whether the carriers, you know, kind of add subsidies or discounts to make their phones competitive.
Yeah. Well, along the same lines, we're going to stay with hardware and still talk about this time we're going to talk about Samsung. But I have a footnote about HTC in this story. Basically, the next story is that Samsung has shipped 43 million smartphones in Q1, which pretty much dwarfs HTC and Motorola. In the same story, Apple is in there at 35 million handsets. So between Samsung and Apple, they are the two companies shipping a total of 78 million handsets over the first quarter of the year. HTC, we were just talking about, in contrast, is down to 6.9 million shipments in Q2012, down from 10.1 million. And analysts believe that the big drop is due to lack of demand for their LTE handsets compared to iPhone and Samsung handsets. So a little bam. I mean, it's sort of like, okay, well, HTC is not going to destroy their brand image by doing super low-end phones. In the meantime, not many people are buying those LTE super high-end phones. So is that going to change as, you know, more people are buying LTE phones in the future? I think they're sort of gambling for the future, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, I think one of the concerns too is that HTC came out with the LTE phones possibly before LTE was really, really mature. I mean, I know, you know, that LTE networks are still being fleshed out by a lot of the carriers. So people aren't going to drop down the money if they're not going to see that speed, kind of come immediately. Now, of course, we're seeing LTE, you know, the LTE networks grow, and we're seeing LTE become more available across the country now. But this is looking at back data. Another factor could this be also an indicator of just the market, you know, kind of availability? We talk about flooding the market and whether or not there are too many options and there are too many phones for people to choose from, and maybe people are just not choosing HTC.
Maybe. Well, another footnote in the hardware area. Apparently, the Droid Razer Max has displaced the iPhone 4S as the top-selling smartphone on just Verizon. We're only talking Verizon, but apparently more people are buying the Droid Razer Max.
Well,
I think it's battery.
I think this is a testament to two things. I think it's a testament to how big Verizon's footprint is in terms of customers, and also that Razer Max is a good phone.
It really is. I mean, the only thing that has been holding me back from getting that phone is that it has not been updated with ICS. Yeah. And my next phone has to have the latest operating system because I know that Jelly Bean is on its way. So it's only going to be a matter of time before ICS is outdated. So it better have ICS before I even purchase it. So they keep saying, yes, it's coming soon, coming soon, coming this summer. But I haven't seen that yet. It's not official. So
yeah, well, I'm sure it'll come out sooner or later. They've got to stay competitive. I wonder how much value the Razer brand has as a legacy brand. Like, do people remember the Razer from 10 years ago and are like, oh yeah, I remember that phone. And are they more willing to give that a shot versus the iPhone? Like, I'd be really curious if there's any kind of customer kind of exit polling going on at the Verizon stores as people walk out either with an iPhone or a Max or Razer Max. Also, I wonder what the price point is. I haven't bought a phone in so long. I don't know how much they are.
I mean, you know what? They've had sales for the Razer, and I really haven't seen sales for the Razer Max quite yet. But they have been pimping those phones. I see ads all over the place for the Razer. And so along with that, you know, if somebody's like, hey, I want to buy the Razer, and then they just happen to check out the Max and find out about the battery or whatever, maybe, you know, they just kind of decide, oh, I want this phone instead because it's going to be stronger. So. Yeah. Very cool. It's just sort of the first quarter report, but very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Also interesting is that Apple has attempted to keep the Samsung Galaxy S3 from being sold in the U.S., and it doesn't seem to be very successful. It looks like the Samsung Galaxy S3 will launch on time, as their injunction hearing against Samsung has been denied by U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh in San Jose. The reason is because her calendar was so full, she had no time to hear the case before the June 21st Galaxy S3 launch. So Samsung can be thankful of a heavy docket for Judge Koh in San Jose so they can keep their launch going happen. And I'm sure that's going to upset a lot of the folks at Apple. And one of the main reasons why Apple was looking to block this is because, you know, it's really the Galaxy S3 is expected to sell really well. I mean, I've been doing some informal polling against a lot of some of my friends, and a lot of my friends are waiting for the phone to become available. This is the phone they're going to upgrade to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, but any iPhone users jumping though?
No iPhone users. Yeah. Not that I know of yet. I'm sure there might.
They're
be
waiting
some.
For the 5. Yeah. They're waiting for the next iPhone.
And it was funny because it actually came up. The reason why it came up, I was at a party and one of my friends was asking me what phone should he get. And I was pushing the HTC One HTC One X on him. Mm-hmm. And then someone else was like, oh, well, have you seen this new Samsung one? I'm like, actually, that's a really good option as well. And then we kind of went online, looked at the specs, and everyone's like, oh, I'm getting this phone. And there was a lot of excitement for it. So
it's a pretty darn nice phone, I have to say. I've been enjoying it. I soon have to give this up. But
how much longer do you have?
I don't know. I'm trying to pretend like I'm not using. I don't know where it is, Molly. Yeah. Oh, you got another one over there.
Well, can you make it 3 days until the 21st? You can get one of your very
own.
I'm trying.
Yeah. It's so hard. You know what? I've been really enjoying this phone that my poor S2, which I have loved for so long, which is having some sort of reboot issues, right? Not reboot issues, just having some issues with Cyanogen.
Right.
It's just kind of laying on my coffee table. And I look at it every day like, oh, I should use it. Yeah. No, I still have this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've grown accustomed to the size. The screen is great. I don't know. I'm pretty sure this will be my next phone. So,
I just think it's super telling how Apple was really pushing to delay the launch. And they're saying that this is a major move in their strategy of keeping the iPhone's dominance in the smartphone market. And if their strategy is litigation. And trying to block sales due to injunctions and things like that, then if Apple's pretty threatened by this phone, then this phone might actually pack a bigger wallop than I thought it would.
I think so. I mean, you know, as the earlier story was, that Samsung and Apple are leading in sales, in handset sales. I mean, I don't know. I should have known better than to doubt the Samsung Galaxy S3 would be a monster. And I think it is. Yeah. And I think across the board, all the reviews are very positive, and you know, those looking to upgrade, I think this is the one to get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really curious to see if it's going to be a threat to the iPhone. So we'll see how the sales go. We'll see. I can't imagine people are going to be lining up on the 21st. But if you hear, if you see any photos of any people lining up for the Galaxy S3 on Thursday, take photos of it and post it on Twitter. Let us know about it, because I'd be curious to see what the kind of crowd reaction is.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've given up on waiting in line for Android phones. I did it once, and that was it. So
I know you did it for the last Nexus, right?
I did it for the Nexus S, yes, and I was one of six people at a Best Buy in San Francisco at 7 a.m. on a Friday or Thursday.
Oh, my God,
morning.
That was like a year and a half ago, right?
No, it was a long – it was like two years ago, was it? Yeah. Oh,
man.
Yeah,
time
was
fast.
So well,
we have an email.
We do have an email, and Dan writes in – and he says, I'm a big fan of the show and enjoy listening to it on his commute each week. Thank you, Dan. I'm writing to you to give you a PSA about battery life. I'm running Cyanogen Mod 9 on my Samsung Galaxy S. Yes, the original. We're just talking about the Galaxy S. And for the last few weeks, I've had a major issue with battery drainage that I haven't had before. To investigate the issue, I installed Better Battery Stats. And this is in the Google Play Store. And Chad, I don't know if you can pull up the link on that he provided in his email, but show people what Better Battery Stats looks like, which showed me that I had an almost constant wake lock running on of type, and this is in asterisk, suspend underscore back off. What I could find from Googling that this kind of wake lock is caused by multiple wake locks running into one another and not letting the phone enter deep sleep. I tried everything I could think of to no avail until I decided to disable locale. I'm sure you know of Locale. It's similar to Tasker in that it lets you set up different profiles based on time or location or other environmental settings. It turns out that Locale, which I had installed to help me manage my battery life, was in fact the cause of the major battery drainage. Since I disabled it, I've seen my phone enter deep sleep much more often and for longer periods, and the drain of my battery reduced to something where I can actually get through the day without having plugged it in for every second. I would be happy if you passed on these two tidbits to your audience, as I'm sure they'll get people get a better overall experience from their phones once they figure out what their settings and apps are causing battery drain while the phone is just sitting in their pocket doing nothing. Yours truly, Dan. That's fascinating to see that a app that is designed to let you maximize your battery life by setting up different settings throughout the day was actually the cause of your drain. I'm sure the makers of Locale love that, but it's interesting because, you know, we have a note here that, there's an article on The Verge about this, talking about how Android's power management API can lead to, quote, no sleep energy bugs, according to Purdue researchers. So, I mean, this case of the battery drain and Android is, I don't think one app or one solution is gonna solve it, because there's so many different things going on in that phone at any given time. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have something like Locale running. You might have any sort of app that is constantly pinging or talking to a server or doing something like that. There might be activity going on, and there are so many different settings that can be adjusted. I don't know whether you can 100% control your battery.
Well, it's interesting. This research survey or analyzed 187 apps, and of those 187 apps, 42 had no sleep energy bugs. So how often is this happening,
right,
in the marketplace? And there's just a lot of steps to take care of as a developer, and maybe this is just one of them that's kind of overlooked here and there. I think I've had some of the same issues, and I've had to just kind of eliminate here or there or just delete apps, because I've noticed there have been times when my phone just dies idly, and it shouldn't die. It shouldn't go all the way down to like 5% in a matter of like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah,
because there's stuff running behind.
Well, yeah. When I notice the biggest battery drain on my phone is when I'm like at the baseball game and I'm tweeting and I'm posting photos and I'm checking my email and I'm doing all this stuff. I expect it to see the my little battery icon get into the yellow and okay, I'm draining. But when the phone's just sitting on your desk, sitting idle, like you should be able to get through the day, especially with these phones now. I mean, like the Galaxy Nexus that I'm running now, I can get through a day totally. But I'm also sitting at my desk, and I'm a big proponent of just plugging your phone in when you're home and at the office, and keeping it fully charged. That way, when you do leave that desk and you do leave that moment of being able to charge, it's not a problem.
Do you not have a backup battery?
No.
Just in case?
No.
You haven't bought one, huh?
Not yet. I should. Comic-Con's coming up. I should.
Really?
Every year I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I need to get this battery. And then I don't. And then it's like a week before the show and I scramble and I don't. I'm lazy. That's my problem.
It's a pain, don't you think? I know that you could. I know that you are the expert person to find power at conferences like that. But yeah. I mean, think about if you didn't have to, just like, oh, let me swap out that battery.
You would not even know the lengths I've gone to charge my battery. Like I've found at conferences, I can find an outlet. At conventions, I can find an outlet. I've actually, what I've taken to my latest trick has been, I always carry a USB cable and the power dongle that has the USB cable input.
Yeah.
And if I can't find a plug, I'll just plug the USB cable into my laptop, and which is in my bag, and let it charge off the batteries, the computer's battery for a little while, assuming I don't need my computer's battery. If the computer's battery runs out, then I might need to, you know, go find a place to plug in. But that's been a nice one, especially when I'm driving, when I don't have a, because I don't have a car charger either. And so, like, for example, if, like, I'm on the way here or on the way back to the city, I need to charge my phone, I'll just plug into the laptop and let the laptop charge it. So
that is a lot of battery management.
Yeah,
I cannot do that.
Yeah, it's awful. I should just order a backup battery.
And you got to be careful of the backup batteries, because I have some that are just sort of, oh, it lasts maybe a couple hours. Does it really last, you know, a full half day or whatever? So I have a couple of those cheapy ones.
Jason has got, for this phone, Jason's got that battery that makes it a little thicker, that like gets rid of that little bit of that curve. That I could see plugging in, and at least that's a longer battery charge than the stock one that comes with. And then this one then can become your backup battery. So
I did that with my Galaxy S2. I went ahead and bought a 2100 milliamp battery that makes the back of my S2 a little bit thicker and a little tiny bit heavier. But honestly, I don't even, it's so thin and light anyway. It doesn't matter. And it has improved my battery life. So the original battery now is my backup.
Yeah.
And I have this honking 2100 milliamp battery, which I love. So I don't know. That's why I think the Samsung Galaxy S3 is going to be my phone and not the HTC One X, because of the non-removable battery.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if battery matters to me, it just does.
I'm telling you, in this new economy, power is the new currency. If you keep power from me, I'm screwed. So, yeah.
Wow. You're going to enjoy that new J.J. Abrams TV show, Revolution. Have you heard of that? Where the power goes out and then life goes crazy?
I did see it. Well, I just started – Falling Sky started last night. So that's similar to a, you know, aliens have come and ruined our society, and now there's no electricity. So that's, you know.
Oh, I don't know if there's aliens in this show. There must be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's J.J., right? It must be.
Probably. Okay. All right, cool. Let's take a break and thank our sponsor. We want to thank MyFord Mobile for sponsoring All About Android. And with the MyFord Mobile app, you can take advantage of the value charging feature powered by Microsoft based on your local utilities participation. It allows Ford customers to take advantage of off-peak or reduced rates from their utility without a complicated setup process. Use Go Times to precondition your vehicle's temperature before your departure to conserve battery energy. Monitor charging, get alerts, find charging stations, and plan out your drive. Share and learn smart driving tips in the forums on My Ford Mobile website, with gaming features such as leaderboards, unique achievements, and social networking available to drivers of Ford electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles. Monitor how far you drive, how much CO2 you save by not using gas. The My Ford Mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. I gotta tell you, just reading this makes me want to do this. Like, I don't have a car, but I really am considering getting a Ford because of this. Honestly.
You want all the social stuff, don't you?
I think the gaming stuff is really cool. I think that's so clever, and the social stuff is cool. But I think the gamification stuff and the leaderboards and stuff like that is really neat. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't have a car, but if I was going to get one, I'd get a Ford because of this. So the MyFord Mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for purchase right now. So get out to your dealer and go put that money down and get it while you can. You can learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And it's great to see Ford kind of leading the charge on cool innovations around cars and things like that.
They always have been, it seems like. They've been really cutting edge. Yeah. And that's going to end.
Yeah, I've always been a Ford fan. So. Cool. All right. So
thank you, Ford, for sponsoring our show.
Yes, thank you. All right, let's dive into the hardware.
Hey, you guys looking for a cheap phone?
Always.
No? Yeah? Something cheap, something good. Maybe from AT&T? Maybe?
I'm on T-Mobile, but
okay.
I'll jump for a cheap phone.
All right. Well, apparently AT&T is going to launch for $99 an LTE-capable Sony Xperia Ion on June 21st. What do you guys think about that? Anybody? I'm going to look at the chat room right now. Anybody going to bite? LOL, funny. No, no.
Cheap is my first name.
No, I don't like cheap phones.
Hey,
you guys are all adhering to HTC's policy. No cheap phones.
Yeah, $99 for LTE isn't that bad. I mean, if
it's really cheap.
Really cheap for a fast phone. And
Nope. Look, everybody's like, hells no.
Yeah, look at that.
No, LOL. Are you crazy?
What? That's awfully dangerous to put the chat room up on the show. dodged a bullet there. it's interesting to see that Sony would be launching a device like this, so targeted at the bargain marketplace, but utilizing that network. What are the other specs on it?
It's like 4.6 inches, and it's they're calling it an HD reality display running 720p. It's got a 1.5 gigahertz dual processor, not so bad. In the back, it's got a 12 megapixel rear camera and with an Exmor R back illuminated sensor, whatever the heck that means. There is a 16 gig internal storage, and I'm not sure if it has a micro SD slot or not, but it is presumably very, very slim. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that could be a bad thing, right?
It's not a bad phone. I mean, I know Sony doesn't have the best track record in terms of the watch, all these other kind of, missteps that they made. But that sounds like a pretty decent phone that you could, for entry-level price at $99 is not too bad.
I don't think you guys should discount that. Some people can't afford, and that is with a 2-year contract, that $99 price. So
right, yeah,
gave to the contract, unfortunately. But see, good specs. See, now people are like, wait a minute, maybe that's nice specs for the $99.
Tech Ace One does point out the sharp edges that we know comes with the Sony products that you might fear for your fingers if those edges get a little too sharp. But
you use it as a weapon. So hey, that phone might be really good if you're in trouble. In a dark alley, flinging. Can you imagine flinging that phone? Right, yeah. Like boomerang. You should market it. The Sony Xperia Ion. We have edges.
We're sharp. We can help you open a letter. But the thing about the Sony products that always get me is that they do fall into the trap of loading what could be considered bloatware onto their devices. I've got that Sony tablet that looks like the Wedge, and there's a bunch of Sony applications on there that run on that, and they're so married to that Sony experience and make believe and whatever. So I'm curious how much of that is loaded onto the phone. It looks like a fair amount of it based off those screenshots. I don't know.
And it's AT&T, but some people have really good AT&T coverage, not me.
Well, the thing about this, and we scoff at these cheap phones, and we scoff at phones that aren't running Ice Cream Sandwich and things like that, but there are people who will buy that. There are people who are looking for that. Not everyone is like us. Not everyone lives and breathes with all these different updates and specs and changes and things like that. There's Joe Schmo accountant who just needs a phone, and he wants to check his email on his phone, and this phone will do that. So,
yeah, they could care less, and they don't even care if it's upgraded or not as long as it works.
Yeah.
So, when it starts slowing down, that's a problem. But I don't know if this actually has ICS.
I think it does, though.
Well, Sony's been really good about coming out with their phones having ICS.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah. All right.
Well, speaking of Sony, I got a ton of people shouting at me over this past weekend that Sony's new Google TV enabled box is available for pre-order at JNR. Is it called JNR Music World still, or just JNR? So anybody who had watched the ill-fated Sony Google TV hangout that happened down in Palo Alto,
the audio was not so great.
Yeah, it was a little rough. But Eileen and I were there, and we got to see this device up close in person. This is Sony's new Google TV offering. So basically, what it seems like what Sony's doing with the Google TV, and this is our Google TV Watch, not a watch with Google TV on it, rather Google TV Watch. Sony previously had released televisions, a Blu-ray player, and that's really it with the Google TV integrated into those devices. Now they're moving away from that strategy. They're not releasing any new Blu-ray players or any new televisions with Google TV embedded on the devices themselves. Rather, their offering is this very Roku, Apple TV X box. And the interesting thing about the box is it comes with a brand new remote. You might remember that the Sony Blu-ray player came with a very Xbox 360-like remote. It was this chunky kind of two-handed remote with a keyboard. They've kept that same kind of game design approach with this new remote, but it's a lot slimmer. It's a lot smaller. It's a dual-sided – well, actually, it's a tri-sided remote. One side there you can see in that photo, it's got a row of buttons on the side for volume and channel control and things like that. On the bottom of it, there's a full keyboard. And then on the flip side of it, there's a trackpad area as well as all some of the key action buttons. I got to admit, I got to hold it, and it's a pretty cool remote. I mean, I was really disappointed that you can't just buy the remote for an old Google TV device, which is what I think they should do. But yeah, so it's interesting because it's only going to be a $200 device. So for $200, you can get it. And this is really similar to the Logitech review, actually, if you look at it. It's just a little black box that plugs into your TV, and it comes with a remote. And then you can add on to add Google TV to your whole world. The mic, the remote also has a microphone for quote-unquote voice commands. So you could just talk to the remote and tell it what to do. So that's a different kind of way of interacting with your Google TV. But what's interesting is that the guy from Sony that was at that event that we went to down in Palo Alto, do you remember this, Eileen? Mm-hmm. He was saying, I'm really looking forward to see what developers do for apps to run on the Google TV that utilize the remote.
Mm.
So that sounds like a challenge to a lot of those Google TV developers. Now you've got a remote with a full trackpad, with a full keyboard, with a microphone. What could you do with that?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a developer, but I'm sure somebody smarter than me will.
Well, it looks interesting. I mean, are you going to upgrade at all? Or are you just going
to... I don't have any reason to. I mean, that's the thing. Because if it's so... As long as they keep the Blu-ray player running the latest version of the Google TV software, like I'm running 2.1.1, the only difference that this box has over what I have is that it's the new remote. That's really the only difference. I can live without the remote. The question is, at what point do they phase out support of the Blu-ray player, and then I'm screwed.
Right.
So, but I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. I really don't know if this is a commitment to Google TV in a different direction, or if this is Sony slowly backing away from the platform.
Mm.
My initial gut was this is Sony backing away from the platform.
Right.
Kind of getting out. And they're, by the way they're getting out is they're phasing out by like, no, we don't have it in TVs and Blu-ray players, but now we have a box. And in a year from now, they can just phase out the box because nobody bought it. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be smarter. Well, obviously, if they started putting it in their TVs, it'd be a whole different story. But it doesn't sound like they're doing that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I wanted to talk a little bit about this Clam book that I heard about. It is basically a slim and sleek notebook that's powered by your smartphone. Believe it or not, it's going to be available in the holiday season. And basically, it keeps your phone connected and charged, and it uses MHL technology to get powered by your phone. And it's got an LED brilliant back display with 16:9 aspect ratio. It supposedly has great sound. And pretty good processing power for gaming as well. So this is really interesting. There's not too much to say here other than, you know, it'll, as you can see there's some photos there, and it seems like it's just running the apps on your phone. And then you've got a nice looking laptop. Look at how nice that is, though.
That's really nice. I mean, like, when I first looked at it, I was like, is that a MacBook Air? Like, it looks like an Air. Yeah.
I know. I don't really know if there's any specs on terms of weight. And basically, it's working with Ice Cream Sandwich. And it's just very thin and stylish
Does it have to – so it has to be hooked up to your phone?
In order to work, yeah. It's powered by your phone. So
so it's like an external monitor and a external keyboard that you carry with you.
Kind of.
Basically.
I think they're trying to be a laptop, but I'm not, you know, if it's only running apps and, this is full Gmail web app, Firefox, and then there's like an on-screen dialer that they're touting on here so you can use it. A la kind of like...
Wait a minute. Before desktop class apps, and it's the Gmail web app. Like, that's just going to Gmail in a browser. You know what I mean? Like, that's the real – that's, and hopefully we'll see some of this stuff at Google I.O. is that – that's one powerful cable. Hopefully we see some of this at Google I.O. is that – and we've complained about this just in doing the show. Like, why can't we do a show just with tablets for our rundown? Because Google Docs support on Android stinks.
Oh, thank you, K-Hod. The Atrix, yeah, that was the first phone to do that and, like, be powered by – you know, the phone, the actual laptop was. Yeah. So this is not connected. I mean, it's connected, but it's not, you know, you don't put the phone in the laptop in order for it to work. It's
right. But you need to have the cable. Yeah. You need to have a cable plugged into the Clambook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to know a little bit more about it, but I just thought it was interesting.
That's really interesting. What's the price point?
I don't think there's a price point yet.
Interesting. Well, the point I was making was that these laptop, whether it's the Asus Transformer or all these kind of laptop tablet hybrid type things, until they get the desktop experience, you know, like getting Google Docs to work really tightly with it, that's always going to be a blocker. And so I hope Google I.O. kind of, you know, they announce some better support for that sort of things. Because we can't even use Google Spreadsheets on a tablet.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. I've tried. I've tried, what, 3 times now? And then the last time, I think I just stopped and I had to pull my laptop out. I was like, forget.
And so it's funny. Nate in the chat room is saying this is why the Microsoft Surface is going to be huge. And I don't necessarily agree because I'm ready to throw Excel out the window. You know, like I don't really want Excel on a tablet, you know?
It might work better than, you know, Drive or at least Spreadsheets on Google, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta think Google's working on this, and I gotta think that the Android team is working with the apps team to really optimize it. Because the thing is, you can go through a browser. I mean, like, curious how that Clambook webpage promotes Gmail, the Gmail website, as opposed to the Gmail Android app. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what the Gmail app on my phone looks like on that Clambook as a laptop.
Clambook.
App. Yeah. So it's curious.
Very curious. I think we'll find out more very, very soon. All right, let's move on to another email. Let's see. This is from Jeff, who was listening to show 63. Says, I have the same issue as the caller with the HTC Evo 4G. I've done everything you recommended. One thing I did notice, the mail app shows it is using 13 megabytes of data. I already deleted the sent, trash, drafts, out folders. There's only 8 messages in my inbox. None have attachments. I clear for the mail app. Cannot do from manage applications like other apps. Love the show. Keep up the work. P.S. Ron, thanks for declining to play. Draw something with me. I think that's why. So basically, let's go back. The mail, maybe you need to delete all of that mail on your phone. And then there's your little jab there, Ron. Well, we're not playing draw something anymore, are we?
Well, yeah. To the bulk of his email, that is a good thing. That is a very interesting point. Look at the applications that use a lot of data. I think that's, you know, whether it's mail or anything else. But as far as draw something goes, listen, I'm sorry, Jeff. I got caught up in the draw something craze just like everyone else. And I don't think I specifically declined to play with you. I literally have not opened the app since April or May. So it's probably it just timed out and said that he declined or whatever because I have not touched it. I've been playing Panic Flight nonstop.
Panic Flight.
Yeah. Nonstop. Yeah. Can't get enough of that game. It's great. So sorry.
It's seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, next month it's going to be a different game.
Well, Eileen, you could attest, when we haven't played Draw Something since that time period, since like April or May. Like, it came out that week, 2 weeks it came out, and then I dropped it.
I still have Triple Town and Temple Run, though.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it doesn't take too much of my time.
Yeah.
It's just get in and out. Very casual. And that's the kind of game I like. If it's so involved where I have to wait for the drawing to happen, I have to then see what they did, and it takes a long time. And also, I'm sorry, they did not update their words. I'm tired of Brad Pitt. I cannot draw him any more than I already have.
Well, aren't they trying to do some sort of thing where you can buy new words, or that's their monetization strategy?
Yeah.
I think I saw something like that where they were like word packs that you can.
It's a good game. Yeah. But yeah, it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
And then you have all those requests. There's just no way to fulfill all of that. So, Jeff, I'm, you know, sorry.
Yeah. And And that's the thing. Is like, I really do like the, because I don't like social gaming. I don't like, I like playing games with my friends, but I like playing games with strangers and things like that. Whenever I download a game and it's got some sort of connection to play with other people, I always kind of decline that. But I like the way Draw Something works because it was turn-based, you know, like reminded me of the old kind of turn-based board games, that sort of thing. But I will agree with you, Eileen, that I got really tired of the process of the waiting to watch it get drawn and then guess it, you know, like all those steps. And like if they had just let you skip through like the swipes and the intros and all that sort of stuff and it could go much faster, then yeah. I might go back to it. But yeah. Plus, also, a lot of people requested to play with me. And I'm not, you know, humble bragging. I'm not saying, you know, it's just that I think the reason why I stopped playing is that I opened it up and I just saw this list of requests. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work. Like, I could be doing something more productive with my time. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like the next app that I'm going to talk about in apps. Let's go to apps. Okay, like we mentioned, Microsoft had a big announcement. It was a tablet. It was called Surface. And yeah, so that's out there. I don't know when it's available. I didn't really pay attention too much to all the specifics, but seems like people are buzzing about it and excited about it. But on that same token, Microsoft actually just released their first app to Android, and it has to do with the Xbox. It is a game called Connectimals, and it's about animals, and you can basically on the Xbox, you can kind of move and use Kinect and kind of interact with these really cute fuzzy animals. And I wish I was there to show you Bob. Bob is my panther that I created. And just by touching the screen, is there a video on there at all, Chad, to show you Connectimals at all? Or is it just there? Oh, look at the cubs there. And it's a game. It's almost kind, it's very Tamagotchi-like where you have to pet them and then you do various of games like jump rope. You teach them how to sit, how to stay, and things like that. And you could take these, or you get five of these connect animals, whatever, I can't even call this. You get these little cute fuzzy creatures, and you can actually export it to the actual Xbox game if you want. It's really great for kids. I could see families with kids liking this game. I think the game itself is like $50 on the Xbox, and the game here is $2.99. I don't know. I don't own the Xbox game, but it's very cute. I have to say, I played with it last night, and I was kind of drawn in. Yeah. My panther Bob is really cute, and there we go. Let's see a little bit of video of Connectimals. Doesn't that sound weird? Connectimals. Look, that's what Bob looks like. He's black, he's a panther, and he does that play stance, and then you tell him to jump. Whoever's doing this is not doing it well. Okay, you're petting the Connectimal, and then you have like little challenges, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And I don't know, it's just interesting to see Microsoft actually porting a Xbox 360 game to Android. I think this is all part of their sort of whole connected devices and getting games and lots of media, you know, to play on all different devices and having many different kinds of experiences. And that's one of them. So
it's interesting. So it's basically just like Tamagotchi or whatever. That's all it is. Right. And it's integrated with your Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's games for kids, I think. Look at that panther. Hello, Bob. My panther. I hope he doesn't die. I haven't touched him. I haven't seen him.
Oh, look, you can play ball with it. Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Cute.
Now, do you need to buy the Connectimals game to play this? Like, do you need to have it on your Xbox, or can you just play it by, like, just because you love animals?
Yeah, you can just play it on your phone. Play it on your tablet. It's just that extra sort of, if you want to export it out to the Xbox and you happen to have the game, you can do that too. So probably a companion piece for those who have bought this game. But look how cute it is. Your kids will have fun if they play with Bob, my panther.
that reminds me, there was an app that I was going to use in the arena a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was one of those weeks that I wasn't on the show for whatever scheduling reason. So this is a great opportunity to actually talk about it and show it off, because it just cracks me up. And Chad, I threw a link into the spreadsheet. Microsoft came out with Kinect Star Wars for Xbox, as many of you know.
And is this a Microsoft?
It's a Microsoft product. So it's a Microsoft. So you see more from the developer, Bing, and all that sort of stuff. So it's connectables. Yeah, so this is a Microsoft Android app. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but if you know what Kinect Star Wars is, that's the Star Wars game that Microsoft and Lucasfilm. Wait, don't show anything yet. Don't show anything yet. I'm gonna demo it. But so Kinect Star Wars is the game where you can use Kinect and you can, you know, do lightsaber battles, and the Rancor mode is awesome, and it's got the great Star Wars Dance Central with Star Wars characters, which is way. It sounds awful, but it's tons of fun.
Are you sure?
Oh, it totally. I had a great time. I was at my friend's house when we were playing it. It was fantastic. I mean, you got to be a Star Wars fan. I mean, that's the thing. But anyway, so I see this app and I'm like, oh, Kinect Star Wars for Android. All right. So let me download this and check it out. So here, I will pull it up for you, because you got to wonder what they're doing with the Kinect platform that they could recreate on the, where's the camera? There it is. That they could recreate on the Android experience. So there it is, you know, Kinect Star Wars, pretty cool. I'm like, all right, so it looks pretty neat, and my phone's all smudgy, I'm sorry. Really, what this is it's a Twitter client.
What? That's all it is?
If I swipe over, it will load my tweets. And if you, wait, where's the audio?
The Star Wars background.
We don't have audio. I'll turn my volume up. If you rotate your phone, it then shows your Twitter stream as the crawl of Star Wars.
Oh my god! How much is this?
I don't. That's a good question.
Tell me it was free.
I hope it was free. It was.
I thought they were gonna show
free.
Me
the Thank God it's free. It's 16 megabytes.
I thought you were totally going to show me, like, the dancing game or something.
No, I wish it was the dancing game, because it's just that's a stupid Twitter client.
And that's
you can't interact with it. It just... See, this is the social networking app you've been looking for.
Oh, man. Like, oh, I love Asurian, who says this has to be malware.
I know. Isn't it like so it's literally just, you know, and so you can't even scroll. You can't anything. I got to flip it back up to stop it. And then now I can go through and I can, you know.
Can you actually send a tweet from that?
Yes, you can. So I can post. And
well, it's a nice background. Is it supposed to be?
Yeah, it's all Star Wars background stuff, you know. And you can also link it up to Facebook, so you can see your Facebook feed and post to Facebook from it. That is all it does. It's amazing.
I'm confused.
Yep. So I didn't connect my Facebook account to it.
I think some people think you should have had this in the arena.
I would have destroyed in the arena. It would have been great. You have no idea. But but yeah, it's just no. The great thing about it, wait, Uche, can you go back in? Is that there's this dummy Twitter stream of R2-D2 and C-3PO.
That's all. Wait, you know, what are they saying?
They're saying, so R2 tweets, says, gold protocol droid for sale, we'll listen to offers. And then R2-D2 also says, we were the droids they're looking for, LOL. and then C-3PO says in response, I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communication, but can anyone tell me what the phrase LOL means? And then he says, I've just calculated that the odds on R2-D2 tweeting anything remotely useful are 3,720 to 1.
Oh, man, this show has gone off the rails. Everybody's like, where's Jason?
I know. See what happens when Jason leaves?
Star Wars tweets.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because you were praising Microsoft about doing a gaming-based app for Android.
Yeah, I think that's cool that you actually paired that up with my app. That's cool.
Right.
But it's just also very strange.
Okay. Cool. All right. So before we get into the arena, we've got one more email. And Ian writes in and says, I'm presently watching All About Android. I keep hearing thump, thump. I'm wearing headphones and it's a little bit annoying. I love the show, but is there any way to suppress the banging? Keep up the good work, Ian.
You know what? It's a known issue when you're sitting there. And I was probably either upset last week or was just laughing at something that Ron said. And the table's really sensitive. So you just kind of do lightly, like, tap. Even if you just lightly tap, you might hear a big old boom. So,
and I know... And I tend to fidget too, so I pick my phone up and put it down, my Snapple bottle and put it down. So that probably is it. So this is like the mea culpa episode. I'm sorry. I don't play draw something with you. I'm sorry. I banged the table. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We're showing you a Star Wars Twitter account. And
oh, that was funny. Come on, that was. Telling you this episode is going to win us a Webby. I'm telling you, this is the one.
Okay, we're gonna submit. We're coming to you, Webbies. Oh, this episode has been sailing by, hasn't it, Ron?
It really. Let's go into the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
I really should have done that Star Wars Connect one in the arena. I'm kind of kicking myself for not doing it. But
all right, well. Go ahead. Congratulations, sir.
I was about to start gloating. So if we go back to last week's episode, all three of us were back on the show. Jason was here, Eileen was here, I was here, and my app Clipper came in number one with 174 votes, 46% of the votes. Followed by Eileen's app Relaunch, which got 110 votes, 29%, and Jason's HD Contact Photos got 25% with 96 votes. I was surprised, to be honest. I thought you had it, Eileen. I thought you had it in the bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do want to thank Jonathan Wills, who emailed me and said, thank you for profiling Relauncher. And can I just mention a couple of new upcoming features that they're going to have?
Sure.
They're going to have a category manager. So that stuff that I was kind of complaining about, complete customization of categories, including creation, deletion, user-defined labels, icons, and colors. That was the biggest thing that I wanted to do, was to go in and call each category whatever I wanted. There'll be a favorites category. There'll be a hidden category. There's going to be app highlighting. And internationalization, which includes English, U.S., Italian, German, Spanish, Dutch, and Japanese. So, Jonathan, thanks for writing in. I really appreciate that to know that you actually were paying attention, or at least maybe someone at least told you, hey, they've profiled your app on All About Android. So, very excited.
That's really cool, because my app in the arena today is actually an app from a developer that I've talked about his apps previously. So, like, it's great to hear from the developers who are making these apps, to hear that they are either hearing about it from the show. So if you guys buy an app and you leave a comment for it in the Google Play Store, mention that you saw it on the show. It's a great way to help spread the word. And we love to hear from the developers. So if you're a developer and we talk about your app, please write in. We'd love to hear from you.
Right. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Ron. So you're going to go after me.
I am.
And this is a ploy for us to, you know, it's just the two of us on the show today. So this is how we don't let guests win. It's just by having us. We're like, we're not going to have a guest, because that guest might actually win. So forget it. It's going to be us. We already got Jason off the show. Yeah. He doesn't count this week.
Well, speaking of which, Tech Ace, what are the rankings in the chat? Tech Ace in the chat room keeps track of our wins and losses. And here we go. It looks like Jason's got 7 wins, Eileen's got 6 wins, I've got 5 wins, and the guest is at 4 wins. So I'm coming up from behind. I'm coming up from the basement. Anyway,
the toilet. Sorry, guys. Yep.
Sorry about
all
that.
Right. I will go ahead and start. My app is free and very new in the Google Play Store, and it's called Songkick. And basically what Songkick does is it analyzes all of your music on your phone, specifically the local music and your Google Music account or your Last.fm app, and it scans all your music. And once it does that, it tells you if any of the bands or artists that you like listening to are actually touring in your area. I think it's really cool. It works very well, and I actually give myself email notifications, so every once in a while it'll say, oh, look, Eileen Beirut is playing in your area. What? Where? Oh, my goodness. You know, if I happen to not be checking the app. So there's many different ways that Songkick can help you identify. So when you first launch the app, it'll scan your music, and then you have three sections: calendar, locations, and artists. So if you want to just look up via the calendar or via the artist, you get these thumbnails, and then you can just click on an artist of note for you, and then you could see where they're playing, if they're playing anywhere close. Now, when you click on artists, that won't necessarily give you a location near you. It'll just tell you if they're playing wherever in the world. And if they're on tour, it has a little sort of red bar on the upper left-hand corner, says on tour if one of your artists are playing. I like to go to the calendar section because it'll tell you. So I actually have some new edition music, and apparently they're playing this weekend at the Oakland Arena. and they're playing at the Mountain Winery in Saratoga. Another band that I like named Keen is coming up at the end of the month. I did not know. So if I clicked on that, I can go ahead and say I'm going or I might go. And then there's even a tab there for tickets and more, and that'll send you to a site where you could possibly buy tickets to the show if it's still available. And then it'll give you a map to show you where exactly that venue is, where they're going to be as well. So I went ahead and clicked tickets and more, and then it took me to Songkick's ticket page, and then it gives me many different ways to buy the tickets via Ticketmaster, StubHub, Ticket Network, Tickets Now. Very, very convenient. You can do it all on your phone. And it will even tell you some other artists that are playing at that venue, possibly like opener band or whatnot. And then, so when you launch the app, you've got the calendar, locations, and artists. And then once you're in calendar, you could see three different tabs. Your artists just added, so, newer artists that are on tour that was not originally on the calendar. And also a tab for your plan. So if you have decided that I might go or I am going to a concert, you could see a list of all the different shows that you might be going to. Ron, you're a big concert goer. You go way more than I do. I think this might be handy for you in your music lifestyle. What do you think?
I am. Yeah, no, I'm really curious about this because I actually use a website for this sort of service called sonicliving.com, which is a great website where what it does is you log in and it scans your iTunes account or your Last.fm account or whatever other musical type things it does and basically sends you email notifications whenever shows are announced, when concerts are announced for those artists. So it's a great way to have it pushed to me to tell me when stuff's happening. But it's just a web app. I've been dying for them to build a mobile app. I have no allegiance to them. It's just it's just nice functionality. So if this is a way to track the artists that I know are touring that I'm actively, kind of interested in, and be able to see when they're coming around, and basically you never want, there's nothing worse than opening up a blog and reading about a concert review of a band that you love that played in your town last night and you missed it. That's the worst feeling in the world. So this sort of app I think would be great for that. So very cool.
Like I said, I through this app, I have notifications via email to tell me if someone's in town.
That's great.
Yeah, and then there's notifications obviously on your phone here, so you can get the notifications there. But I don't know. It's not like I get a ton of spam. It's just every once in a while, I'm like, oh, look, Songkick sent me an email. Oh, who's in town? Oh, interesting. And it's usually just someone new. So once it grabs all of your songs and you have it on your phone, they really just alert you to newer updates. So just in case you haven't checked the app in a while, by the way, so-and-so might be in town. You might want to check them out. So I'm really enjoying it. They have a really nice UI. The calendar section itself, you go to that tab, has pretty much using the holo design for ice cream sandwich, which is very cool. So and beautiful thumbnails and photos of the bands as well. So good job to Songkick for giving us an Android app. There it is.
Very cool. I'm going to check that out. I'm going to see. I'm going to give it a go and see how it keeps me in the loop of my favorite bands playing. I really wish I had picked an app that was a little more complicated this week. So I would have taken a little longer to talk about. But my app this week is really simple. You might remember a couple of episodes back, I reviewed the app called Shush, which was a great app that was let you control the vibration and the ringer on your phone in a real simple way to say, you know, for the next 30 minutes, don't give me any notifications, just turn that off or whatever sort type thing. Great little app, nifty, good design, served its purpose, did really well. Well, the developer emailed me to let me know that they just released a new app. And I checked it out, and at first I dismissed it, but then I played with it, and I'm like, actually, this is really cool. And it has a very specific need, and it's a very lightweight app. But if you have this need, it's probably the best application that you will ever find. The app is called Rounds, and it's only 99 cents. And basically, it's a ScorePad application. It appears that they designed it for their mini golf games, but it could be used for Scrabble. It could be used for any sort of games that has an order of people that are playing and some score to be tracked. And it utilizes the ice cream sandwich design kind of layout really, really well. And it's got a great kind of UI. And so here, I'll walk you through it. Very, very simple. So you just open it up and... So we're going to start a new game here. And Eileen, let's pretend that you and I are playing mini golf, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to put in my name, and I like to be the color red. So I'm going to type in Eileen. There we go. And what color would you want to be, Eileen?
Go ahead and give me red.
Oh, I'm red too. All right, I'll change.
Oh no, sorry, green.
All right, green. There you go. Okay. So there you see I'm red, Eileen's green, and we're going to say play. And so now what happens is you get this little circle. And it's – let me turn up my brightness for you. It's kind of hard. It's a little dark. Hang on a second. There we go. All right. So now you get this little circle. And what you could do is now how do we decide who's going to play first? They have a little spin the bottle icon up here. That I just tap that, and it spins the wheel, and Eileen goes first. And so now, Eileen, let's say, you know, hypothetically, we're playing mini golf, and you putted, and you got a two, right?
Uh-huh.
You just – use the jog dial to identify what your score is. See, as I move my finger around the circle, the number goes up. So I go right here, and I give you a two. And there you go. See, now down here, it says you've got a two. And so now with my turn, let's say I got a three, and I just tap my name, and it goes to three.
Okay.
And that is it. That's the whole app. And so what happens is that you can then know, now for the next round, you go to round two. And you get a blank wheel again, and then you could adjust the scores and move on. And it keeps track of the tally. It keeps give you a total at the bottom. And honestly, it's a fun, neat way to use your phone and simply keep score of your golf game, of your mini golf game, of your Scrabble game, of any sort of game that involves turns and points. So I was impressed by its simplicity as well as its also tracking. So for example, when I was in a earlier life, I was a roadie and I was on tour and we played spades nonstop. When you're on the road, you got nothing to do. We'd pull over to rest stop and play spades for a half an hour. And, we would just have a little notebook where we kept track of our scores, and there's an ongoing spades game between me and the guitarist. And with this, I could just keep it on my phone and you can keep track of each game, and you can see in, you know, the most recent game, Eileen won, she got six, she's got a score of six, I got a score of nine, so she won that one. But previously we tied at 0-0. And it'll keep track of all your game scores. I know a lot of couples play Scrabble a lot, and a lot of other folks, you know, like any sort of point-based games. It's just a neat way to interact with your phone, and I was just impressed by the design aesthetic. So it's something I would have never thought about that we would need an app for. But there you go. Rounds.
Wow.
So it's 99 cents. I really like what the folks who were developing, they did Shush and they did Rounds. I'm really impressed with their design aesthetic and the kind of apps that they're designing for Android. So, you know, curious to see what else they do coming out of this or how they improve this. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right.
That's it. So if you want to vote for Songkick, you can go to bit.ly/poll64AAA and you can go vote now. It's just a two-vote race, although...
This really does match the intro to the arena.
It really does. Yeah, two enter, one... Although the chat room is calling for the Star Wars app to be added to the polling, but that's not fair.
Connectimals,
yeah. But yeah, so if you go to bit.ly/poll64AAA, you can vote. And look at that, Rounds is running off to an early lead.
people, you underestimate your app.
There you go. Listen, folks, a vote for Rounds is a vote for Star Wars. So there you go.
Oh my God!
No, only vote for Rounds if you're interested in it. So, but yeah, so interesting apps as Jason gets a bye week, and it's up to me and Eileen to determine who's gonna win. So this might be the shortest episode of All About Android of all time, but I've had fun. This is good.
Has it been short, Chad? How long have we been talking?
We're at 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Oh, that's not
that. And that's since I've been recording. So. This is probably less. This is around 55 minutes episode,
all right. That's not
maybe.
Bad, actually, you know, that was the original goal of the show, to be an hour show.
It was.
And then, because there was the three of us, we just yak so much. I mean, look at you and me, Ron. We could go almost an hour and be done. You know, when you add Jason in the mix, that's why it's always an hour and 20.
Right. And to be honest, we didn't talk about any sort. Well, we did talk a little bit about the litigation with Apple and Samsung, but there was no Android patent. You know, Oracle, yeah. Google lawsuit stuff. There was no, you know, really deep specs. You know, no hardware's been announced. We're kind of in a quiet period before Google I/O.
I think that's what it was too. Yeah. And I looked at the news and I just thought, gosh, there's not that much going on. We already know the Samsung Galaxy S3. That's that's the phone of the moment. There's just, you know, other phones that are coming up pretty soon, and there's nothing, just it's pretty quiet. Although tomorrow something big might happen with Google, and then we'll be like, why didn't they say it?
Exactly.
Today?
And we couldn't even, and it would have been neat to do like a Surface tablet versus Google or Android tablets kind of comparison, but it literally happened right before the show. So what can you do? So,
yeah.
But it's always a good time. I would come here and just not even do the show. I'd just hang out with y'all. So,
See, and talk to the chat room and this and that. So, you know, we addressed a few things like banging on the table. I think that's important.
Yes. So.
We even talked a little bit about Android in the Wild. Please send your Android in the Wild photos on Twitter or even G+. We'll check them as well.
Yep.
You know, we'll see. Just be on the lookout. Oh, you know what? The guy who sent the Nokia Lumia a photo for me. I think it was a screenshot from a show, but it was clearly the blue.
Oh, really?
I was just like, no. I even replied to him. I said, next time. Good. Thanks for thinking of us, but you know, nice try.
Nice try next time. So, all right. So Eileen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at EileenTV, and you can also find me on about.me/EileenRose. That's where I'm at. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. And if you're not thoroughly amused enough by me after this hour, you can go to about.me/RonXO, where you can find my links to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the fun stuff, as well as ifanboy.com and graphically.com, my day jobs. If you're into digital publishing, check those out, and comic books and things like that. So that's it for this week. We sorely miss Jason. I know we made a couple of jokes, but Jason is an integral part to this team, so we do miss him when he's not here.
No, we do miss him. Sorry, Jason. We didn't mean to be so, but we do miss you. We really missed you today.
Yes. So tune in next week when hopefully we'll all be back together. I know I'll be here. So, but you can, if you've got any questions for the show, you can call our voicemail line at 347-SHOW-AAA. And you can email and send video mail to AAA@twit.tv. That's AAA@twit.tv. Our Twitter is @AndroidShow. And you can find the show notes at twit.tv/AAA. Don't forget, you can watch us live every Monday starting at around 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time at live.twit.tv. Have a great week and keep taking pictures of Android in the wild. Fun.